morning active church. How you guys doing? Oh, come on. Come on, 9:30. You could do better than that. How you guys doing? Come on. Well, hey, we're so excited. And my name is Adam Magana. And if you're new here, I'm the lead pastor of this church. I have the privilege and honor of leading an amazing, amazing church here in the Central Coast. And as Brandon said, if you don't have a church here on the Central Coast, guess what? You don't need to be at Active Church. You just need to be at a church. Can I get an amen? And you just need to be at a church. You need to be plugged into the house, to a house of God. And so if you're here for the first time and you're just checking us out, we're glad that you are here. We are in a series called Summer at Active Church, and we're just kind of taking it slow. We're as the summer months are kind of, we're already halfway through, guys. Some of you guys start school pretty soon. I know my little ones start next month, and we're excited about that. Now we have a few more vacation things planned. We're going to Legoland next month, which is gonna be fun. My son Brixton, my 4-year-old, is addicted to Legos, and I love it. It's so much fun. He loves Legos and baseball. So I was like, "You're definitely my son. I love you." But hey, before we jump in, I got a couple things I want to share. We have a guest speaker today that I'll introduce in a moment. Super excited for my friend to be here. But before we do that, I want to let you know about a couple opportunities that you have here at Active Church to participate in church life. We're doing a thing called Fast Track. So if you've ever wondered about Growth Track, if you've ever wondered about this church, what we believe, how you can be a part of it, how we steward resource, how I'm accountable to leadership above me, this is a great chance. Or if you want to take a next step, Fast Track is coming up on Wednesday. We're doing a midweek. It's kind of like Growth Track. Growth Track takes place the first 3 Sundays of every single month. And it's your chance to discover what God wants to do in your life at Active Church. It's kind of like our membership class, but we really don't call it membership. We really want to partner with you in what God's doing in your life. But if you want to, if you ever wondered how you can be a part of church life, this is your chance to do that. It's 6:00 on July 31st. It's going to be at the Kids Center, which is our Active Kids, aka the community room at the library. So right up on Ososa Palm. It's at 6:00. It goes for 2.5 hours. We have free dinner, free childcare. So if you guys are looking for a free date night, come on, somebody. It's a great chance for you that have kids to have your kids hang out with our Active Kids volunteers and our serve team, and you can go and enjoy a nice evening. It's going to be fun. I'll get a chance to hang out with you. We'll hang out. We'll have dinner, and you'll learn more about what God wants to do through this church and how you can be a part of what God's doing here in the Central Coast. It's really cool. And let me tell you something. You need to discover your purpose. Like, it's completely, if you go through life never knowing why you're here, only knowing what you're doing, like going to work, going to school, waking up, going to work, going to school, whatever it is that you do, if you never know why you're doing that, you're missing out. And I believe that this church has been called, we've been called by God to do 4 things: to help you know God, to help you really find freedom from yourself, because how many of you guys know you've made some dumb choices this last couple months, right? Anyone like me, you made dumb choices. You just make dumb choices sometimes. None of you guys. You guys are all good. Just me. But sometimes you need to find freedom from your past, right? You have some stuff that you're here in this morning, and the enemy's trying to remind you of all the stuff why you shouldn't be praising God. He's trying to mess with your head. He's trying to say, you're a hypocrite. You're this. And let me tell you something. When Jesus died on the cross for your sins, he died for your sins, past, present, and future. You are safe and secure because of Jesus Christ. Amen? So you got to be around people that can remind you of the freedom that you have. And then you need to discover your purpose. Why? Because you'll never know what purpose feels like until you begin making a difference in the lives of other people. Your purpose is always connected to other people. So you owe it to yourself to come to Fast Track. So you can sign up today. You can register in the lobby. You can go online to myactivechurch.org/event. And you can go on our website and just register today. And it's free, and you don't want to miss it. Also, we're celebrating baptisms next Sunday. It's going to be awesome. Come on. We believe in water baptism here. We believe it's an outward expression of an inward heart change. We believe that God, Jesus Christ, God in a body, in the flesh, when he came into this earth, he was baptized, and he entered into his earthly ministry. We believe that when you identify with Christ in your heart, and you believe that God rose again from the dead, and you believe that, man, somehow, some way, God loves me. He's for me. I know he's forgiven me. When you do that, the New Testament says, it shows us that when you believe, the next step is to be baptized. It's a public declaration to say, you know what? I love God. I don't care who knows it. I want to identify with the local church. I want to identify with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. It's a new life, raised to life in Christ. So how you do that is you can simply go online to myactivechurch.org and you can register to be baptized. Just go ahead and click, say, I want to be baptized, register for the event. It's after second service a week from today. So we'll do baptisms right out front. You'll have a change of clothes. You can bring a change of clothes. We'll have towels for you if you forget. We'll have everything for you. We'll have a free t-shirt for you. It's a great way. I encourage you, if you have not been water baptized, or maybe you're like me, you were like a little baby, you don't remember that. I encourage you, be water baptized. Jesus did it. We're encouraged to do it. It's part of what we do in the New Testament church. It's how we identify with Christ. So go ahead and do that this coming Sunday. Well, as we jump into our time together today, I'm super excited to introduce a friend of mine. We met a few years ago at an ARC conference. We are an ARC church, which means we're a part of an association of related churches. We're a non-denominational, Bible-based church, but we are part of a church planting movement that has now planted over 900 churches across the globe. And we were at a conference and I got off platform. My wife and I were speaking and we had been interviewed on this big platform at the Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama. And Anthony comes up to me, he goes, man, I come all the way out to Alabama and the only other Mexican dude is from Bakersfield, California. And he walks up to me and he gives me a hug and he goes, I'm Anthony. And I meet Mandy and him and just, man, immediately we became friends. And I'm so grateful for friends. I'm so grateful for people that I can call when I just don't know what to do. I don't know about you, but there's times where I just don't know what to do. And especially in leadership, God's constantly drawing you into deeper waters. And can I tell you, when you're in a deeper water, when you're in a season where you're not sure, like, God, how do I navigate this season? You need people that you can call. You need people that can encourage you and say, you got this. I'm praying for you. Don't worry, God's got you. And Pastor Anthony Flores has been that for me. And so I want you guys to do me a huge favor as we honor a man of God that has been a huge influence in my life. And as he comes to the stage right now, would you do me a favor and just help welcome Pastor Anthony Flores? Come on.
Oh, thank you. You know, the Bible's very clear that what we fail to honor will exit our lives. And so it's very important that we always give honor to who honor is due. And your pastors are amazing. I did go up to him and say that in Alabama. I flew all the way out. You're the only other Mexican I met. So that is the true story. But we've had a good time. I gave him more beef from being from Bakersfield than anything else, just so you know. Because in Fresno, we look down on people in Bakersfield. I'm not going to lie to you. We feel like we're better. We get better air quality, if you call it that. But I do honor the man of God and his wife who have so graciously allowed me to grace this pulpit. And I just think it'd be fitting if you just pray over me and kind of just get us ready, prepared to receive the word.
Yeah. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for Pastor Anthony. I thank you so much for Pastor Mandy and his beautiful children. I thank you for their family, God, because that's their first ministry, God. Lord, I thank you that you're doing a work through them in Fresno, God, that Adventure Church is growing exponentially, Lord, that you're giving them new territory. You're raising up leaders. God, you're helping them send people out. And God, you're changing the atmosphere in Fresno, California, God. And it's evident, Lord, it's evident to everyone that comes across this family. And I just pray a blessing over my brother. I pray, God, that you would expand his territory, Lord, continue to move in his life. I pray that, God, that as you expand, Lord, the ministry that they're overseeing, that his roots would go deeper, Lord. God, that there would be more fruit in his life than no one else sees, Lord. That the fruit that is coming out in his life, Lord, would be first in his quiet time, Lord, and that would just be an overflow into the pulpit, God. So I thank you in advance for what you're going to speak through Pastor Anthony this morning, and we praise you for all that you're doing. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Come on.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. All right, it's so good to be with you. I think some of you saw me standing to the side and like, hey, is that the new security guy? Is he the bouncer for tonight or for this morning? Absolutely. I double as a pastor. And then my part-time, I work security. The other part-time, I clean pools and plant flowers. I mean, I am definitely multi. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, you're going to laugh today. Go ahead and tell him you're going to laugh today. I thought that was hysterical a minute ago. So I just want to give honor to my wife. She is here. My kids are back home serving in church. My beautiful wife is right here in the second row. Thank you, honey. So how many of you know that the whole picture challenge has been going around to see what you look like when you're older? How many of you know about that, right? How many of you have done that already? How many of you have done it? So this is me when I get older right here. Look at that. Look at that face. Man, that is bad. I did not age well. You like the cat in the back? You like that? How come it didn't get old? That's what I want to know. The only part I got excited about was like I was still looking kind of buff. I was like, that's what's up. And there's a whole reason. There's a whole reason for that. I'm going to introduce you to my family right here. Yes, look at that. Yes, yes, yes. No, my daughters aren't available. Yes. No, they're not. Keep your thoughts to yourself. It's the whole reason why I gotta be on hashtag Swole Patrol, okay? Like, I'm not big enough yet. I don't own guns. I just need to wear them. Come on, somebody, right? So this is my oldest over here. Her name is Melinda. That's my son, Ethan. My other daughter, Allison. So 18, 17, and 14. Look at your neighbor and say, broke. Go ahead. Yes, I'm broke. Yes, I am so broke. I pay for everything. I spoil my kids. That was the whole goal, was to have kids and spoil them. That's right. That was the whole goal. So I thoroughly love having my children. They're awesome. They're great servants. They love worshiping Jesus. They love serving at the church. And so I figured, man, what more could I ask for? So they come up to me and they need a new car. I'm like, sure, why not? Dad, buy me my own house. Why not? I mean, how many of you like to have me as a parent, right? That's nice. I totally made all that up to see if you're paying attention, but this is good. So open your Bibles, if you wouldn't mind. I want to talk to you from the book of Hebrews, and I want to make today the best day. Today the best day. If you wouldn't mind, look at your neighbor to the right and to the left. Say, hey, today the best day. Go ahead and tell them. Today the best day. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, I came across something that I thought was pretty cool. And it says this. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Verse 13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called what? What was that? As long as it's called what? Today. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold to our original conviction and firmly to the very end. We're going to jump on over to the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. And I want to read this portion of text too, and then we're going to dive right in. It says this, when the men came to Jesus, they said they saw John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Has that ever happened to anybody? You were just frustrated in your faith. There was a little bit of doubt and unbelief that crept in. And you wanted to know if God was really going to come through for you. Was God really going to answer your prayers? And so you went like this, God, are you going to take care of it, or do I need to take care of it? And so John the Baptist finds himself in a very weak moment of being frustrated and doubting. He's about to die. And so this is Jesus's response. So reply to the messengers, go back and report this to John, which is Jesus's cousin. Says, what have you seen and what, tell him what you've seen and what you've heard. So the blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy have been cleansed. The deaf hear and the dead are raised to life. But most of all, the good news has been proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come into this place, this house of worship. Lord, it is my prayer that as you speak to me, you'll speak through me for the blessing and the benefit of your people. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen. So I'm a hollerback preacher. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. I'm a hollerback preacher. If I say something good, you can go, amen. You can say fire, facts, so good. But where I come from, we have a lot of Spanish speakers, so we incorporate our own. We say fuego, okay? So go ahead and look at your neighbor and say fuego. Go ahead and tell them. You just learned, I feel like Dora the Explorer right now. You just learned your first Spanish word, fuego. So that just simply means fire. Next time you go get some good carne asada tacos, look at the cook and say fuego. That's all you got to say. They'll know what's going on. So I want to talk to us today. When we did that whole picture challenge, I thought to myself, man, I didn't age very well. I don't know exactly how old I was supposed to be there, but I'm like, okay, this is what I get to look forward to. Now, I was going to show you one of my wife, but I want to go home later. Where are all the, thank you. Where are all the men? Men, you should have clapped and be like, that's a smart guy right there. Whenever he does a marriage conference, that's the guy I got to go to right there. So anyway, so I thought about doing that, and I thought to myself, what would I look like spiritually speaking? How am I going to age spiritually speaking? And I think it's important to know that you're going to get older. Whether you like it or not, whether there's Botox or not, you're going to get older. But whether you grow up in Christ or not is completely up to you. Whether you can, whether or not you grow and mature in your faith is completely up to you. 100% of people who are in heaven chose to be there. No one's ever going to get there and be like, man, I don't know how I got here. I really didn't want to be here, right? It's not how that works. So we got to understand that to grow in our faith is completely optional. To grow in our faith is completely optional. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to go through some next steps and talk about how do we get there? How do we grow in maturation of our faith there? What are some next steps for me? And one of the things we got to do is we got to not harden our hearts, the Bible says. We got to not harden our hearts. And as believers, this seems to be very common, that we harden our hearts towards the things that happen to us and the things that happen against our kids and our family. And I meet people all the time who are like, Pastor, I love God, but I don't like the church. But if I could just clarify a little bit, what they're saying is, I love God, but I don't like the people in the church. To which I would say, me too. Man, pastors are the meanest. I mean, wow. Like, I go places, they don't even think I'm a pastor. Y'all thought I was kidding. I'll go with you. I'll go visit a church with you. I guarantee you they think you're a pastor and I'm not. Guarantee it. I've been in my own church. One guy asked me if I would do security at his club. I mean, I'm serious. It's like, no, I'm actually going to get ready to preach like in about 5 minutes. And so I realized that people have an issue with people in the church. But you got to understand that there are people who may hurt you in the church, but there are other people who will bring healing to you that are in the church. And you got to understand that we've got to grow up in this and understand that there's a maturity that needs to take place. And so we need to do one thing today, and that is we need to choose today. We need to choose today to what? To be encouraged, and we need to choose today to not get offended. To not get offended. What I find interesting is I always tell everybody, this could just be one day out of the week, or it can be day one. It could be day one. Now, let me break it down to you like this. So in January of 2006, January 4th to be specific, I was holding a youth revival up in Reading. And when I was up there, something kind of dynamic happened that night. This beautiful woman of God stepped into the church building. And I was a man of faith. The prayer was real simple, y'all. It wasn't complicated. And here it is. Lord, if you'll blind her for the next 3 to 4 months so that I can convince her I'm the one, I will put a ring on it and I'll marry it as fast as I can. That was a simple prayer. And sure enough, less than 4 months later, we were married. I realized that, oh yeah, I'm a decisive person, y'all. I see something, I just go after it. I don't need no 9 months engagement. Everything you need to know about me, you're going to learn when we move in. Hey. Hey. Shoot, I sold my car to marry her. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to marry you, whether you like it or not. I'll stalk you. I will find you. You think I'm playing? I'll give you a true story. We were engaged, and she dropped me off at the courthouse and ready. No, I wasn't convicted for anything. Jury duty, okay? And so she drops me off, and she's like, I'll come back in a few hours. I'm like, this before cell phones, y'all, okay? So I'm like, okay, no problem. But before she left, I said, I just want you to know, anywhere you go, I'll find you. How many of you know that's creepy? How many are just like, why did she marry him? He's weird. I don't know. So they dismissed me. They did not want me on jury duty. I have no idea why. Might have been the simple fact that I got up and just started preaching and speaking in tongues. And everybody's like, get rid of that guy. I'm like, peace, y'all. I'm out. So I took off walking. And I was just praying. I was like, Lord, I know she's supposed to be my wife. Will you just allow me to cross paths with her right now? Like, I want to see where she is. So I go down the street, I hang a left, and I see this car wash, and she is vacuuming out her car. So I just walk up to her. I'm like, hey, straight face. I'm like, hey, I told you, you will never go anywhere that I can't find you. And she married me 2 months later. Come on. Yeah. Y'all like that, huh? That's creepy, though, huh? I know. I'm just a teddy bear. And so I realized that we got to choose today. Today could be either day one or it could just be another day. And so we need to understand that small adjustments equal big changes. And the first one we're going to adjust is we're going to choose to let it go. We're going to choose to let it go. Matthew 24:10 says this, "And then many will be offended and they'll betray one another and they will hate one another." But the key text is many will be offended. Offense is going to come. It's absolutely inevitable in your life, but offense is what happens. It's an event, but to stay offended is a choice. It's a choice. And I want you to understand that I realize that there are sometimes 2 or 3 times in a day that people will say something offensive to me, that something will happen, that something will transpire. But what I've tried to model for my kids, offenses are inevitable, but to stay offended is your choice. It's how you react. It's how you respond. It's what you allow Satan to put the hook in your heart so that you can't move forward and grow in your walk with Christ. See, you're going to show up one day and somebody might not greet you. You're going to show up one day and the person who cut you off is headed to the same church. You're going to show up one day and the pastor's not going to say hi to you. You're going to show up one day and someone sitting next to you might not like you. This is all a part of life. But how you respond is completely up to you. It's just up to you. And so I try to model for my kids. I'm not going to get offended. They've been with me when I've been harassed by cops. They've been with me when people come to Costco and they ask me to go move something because they think I work there. They've been with me when I've been at Home Depot and they come up speaking Spanish, ask me if they can rent me out for the day. They have been with me. Some of you are like, that really happens? Absolutely. Look at me. I'm built like a house. You'd want me to dig a hole for you too, right? But my kids are like, Dad, why do you always respond so kindly? Like, they'll watch me load up couches and I don't even work for Costco. They'll watch me tell the person to open up a register at Home Depot. They'll watch me just because I say, listen, this stuff is going to happen to you, but if you get offended, you will immediately stunt your growth in Christ. You'll stop growing. Why? Because this is the bait of Satan. This is the hook he puts inside of you. Why? To get you jaded. See, there are 3 illustrations I like to give you. There's an egg, a potato, and then there's coffee. And these all represent 3 different types of people in the church. 3 different types of people. And it imagine this. Every single one of them get boiled in hot water. The potato goes in to that boiling water, but it comes out soft. The egg goes in soft but comes out hard. But the coffee goes in and immediately there's an aroma and there's a beautiful flavor if you like coffee. I don't like coffee, but this is my illustration. But what I find interesting, every single one of them were in the same hot water. Every single one of them went through the same thing. But the potato went in hard and he came out soft. He came out broken, battered, bruised, offended. The egg went in gentle and kind and came out hardened and jaded and had a disdain for the thing that took place. But the coffee, it molded and melted. It leaned in and it said, I will not get offended. I will not let this adversity get the best of me. I will become a beautiful smell and a rich flavor to the people who want to take a drink. What are you going to do with what has happened with you? Are you going to stay the way you are? Are you going to get hardened? Are you going to get soft and crumble? Or are you going to say, listen, I'm going to have an adaptability to overcome what the enemy's trying to throw at me. I'm going to overcome what everybody's trying to do to me because I realize that God said that it's not about the destination. It's about the process that I'm going through. God wants to use this to enrich your life. Now, that's a fuego moment, okay? You got to talk back to me. That's a fuego moment. So here's what happens. What we need to do is we got to understand that today, we get to choose today. This could be day one of us choosing what? To be a good ground. To be a good ground. If you're an offended person, you will never be good ground for the Lord to dispense his word on. That's why you can meet people and you can be sitting in the same row as them right now. They'll walk on, they go, man, church was amazing. And you walk out going, man, I didn't get nothing. It wasn't the word that was bad, it was your heart. The word is always good. This word will outlive you. It was before you, and it'll be there after you, and it's the only thing that sustains in heaven. What happens is we come in, and I'm going to use another Spanish word. It's called caca. Anybody know? Okay. That's poop. Okay. So we come in with caca in our heart. And that's not good ground to plant seeds. That's not good ground. But you get to choose your ground. Jesus said you could either be just straight concrete where you'll be burnt up by the sun or the birds will come eat it. Or you could be rocky ground and what's going to happen is the seed will take no root. Or you could be seed where you have all other issues there too and the seed gets choked out. Or you could choose to be good ground today. And like, you know what? I'm going to lean into that word. I'm going to lean into this word of I shouldn't get offended and I've got to let it go and I got to choose to walk in freedom. I got to choose to forgive that person. And listen, sometimes we fight the very things that are trying to protect us. We fight correction even though it's your protection. And so I want to encourage you to choose to be good ground today, to allow that word to saturate and permeate your heart and allow that word to really dig deep. Because why? If you're going to choose not to be offended and you're going to choose to let it go, then you're making a choice for freedom. You're making a choice for freedom. And I want to read this to you. In Galatians 5:1 says, Christ has set us free. This means we are really free. Now hold on to your freedom. Anytime the Bible repeats itself three times or just one verse, it's for you to pay attention. You are no longer a slave to sin. You have been made free. Now listen, watch this progression. The power of sin has been broken. The penalty of sin has been forgiven. But it's the pattern of sin that you're working out. That's all perfect alliteration right there. Did you see that? All peace. It's the pattern of sin or your bent or your proclivity, because we all have one, to do something. That's what we're trying to get freedom from. That's what we're trying to reverse the curse. That's what we're trying to get dominion over. And so I want to give it to you like this. Freedom is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. See, we keep trying to do away and do away. No, invite Jesus into your mess. Invite Jesus into your addiction. Invite Jesus into your brokenness. Invite Jesus into whatever it is you're going through. Sometimes you just need to invite Jesus into your anger. Because I know you have control over it, because we've all done this. You're fighting with somebody, whether it's a sibling or a spouse. You look down and your phone's ringing. And all of a sudden, in the midst of cussing, you go, hey, how are you? I was so thinking about you. And all along, you're giving the ojos, right? The eyes to the person you're fighting with. Sorry, that's another Spanish term. It just means like you're giving them a bad look right there, right? And so you're looking at them like, as soon as I get off the phone, I'm going to kill you. Ah, I'm sick of you, right? But you're on the phone all sweet and kind. I remember one time, it was us. Right? I was going to make up other people. But one time we were in a heated argument discussion. And I remember she answered the phone all nice to the person. I'm like, how come you can't be nice now? I mean, you were just nice like 5 minutes ago. What's wrong? Like, how this, you know, 0 to 60 real quick. But isn't that what happens on the way to church? You ever notice your biggest spiritual battles on the way to church? If you're a couple in here, you know what I'm talking about. And you got kids, you be fighting in the car. Don't lie. Straight up to the parking lot till you see the first active person. You're like, smile, dang, I will hit you. Smile. You will forever not have a phone, okay? So true. So true. And you walk into church like, praise God. Right. It's a spiritual battle on Sundays. You know, I had to tell my church, if it don't keep you from work on Monday, don't let it keep you from church on Sunday. That's what I had to, okay, I will. I said, if it wouldn't keep you from work on Monday, don't let it keep you from church on Sunday. And so, listen, I'm going to give you a deep spiritual truth right here, all right? If you find yourself fighting with your spouse or your kids on the way to church, real simple. Look at your neighbor and say, two cars. Go ahead and tell them. Whew. That was freeing for somebody, huh? I felt good after saying it. Like, man, that's a good idea. Two cars. Two cars. I don't care if you hop on a scooter or a skateboard. You take two ways to church right there. You can even walk here if you want to. You're feeling healthy and fresh, okay? You can walk. Pick you up a kale drink on the way. Come on. But Christ has come to set us free. And a lot of times, this is what happens. A lot of times, we give God our habits when he really wants your heart. You've got our habits. Here, God, you can have my habit. And God's saying, well, if you give me your heart, I'll have your habits. See, your belief system is determining your behavior right now. And so maybe you're growing up in church and they want to fix the outside of you and Jesus wants to fix the inside of you. Because the world works and tries to change human behavior, but Christ has come to change human nature. And you got to understand that. And so he wants us to bring our hearts to him. And what happens is we start to give him our, our habits, but we're still holding on to the wounds in our hearts, and all of a sudden it's just not working. And so you might say, well, you know, I'm not doing what I used to. I'm not drinking anymore, but no, I'm just binging on Netflix. And so you say, well, I'm not sleeping around no more. It's just, you know, I'm just going on progressive dates every weekend. And so all we're doing is we're trading one for the other. And God is saying, if you give me your heart, I'll set you free. And then what I'll do is I'll change the nature that's on the inside. And you'll see that with this freedom comes a liberty. And you realize you're not bound by these things anymore. That even in the midst of getting angry, you get to stop and choose whether or not you want to respond or react. It's two different things. And so he wants to bring freedom to us. And one of the best ways to do it is this: I choose to worship. I choose to worship today. And a lot of times we stay in bondage because we don't worship him, because whatever you worship, you will become. Whatever you worship, you will imitate. Whatever you worship is what you're giving worth to. And I love this. But at midnight, Acts 16, 25 through 26, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Did you know that worship is the way that you win in your Christian faith? Worship is your pathway to victory. Worship is not just words we sing on here, but we sing the words that God can do it again. That there's something about God that he takes zeros and makes them heroes, losers into winners. He takes shepherds and turns them into kings. This is what God specializes in. He specializes in the underdog. But we realize that in our worship. Why? Because God says, I inhabit the praises of my people. I just wonder what life would be like for you in the midst of an argument with your spouse if you said, no, we're going to worship. In the midst of getting that let go slip from your boss, you said, no, I choose to worship. In the midst of getting a bad report, you say, no, I choose to worship. I wonder what would take place in your heart and in your life if you choose to worship. See, a lot of times we come in and we want to be blessed instead of being a blessing. The prayer was real simple today when I came to Active Church. Lord, I want to add value to the church. I want to honor the man and woman of God who have been working so tirelessly and effortlessly here, just giving 100% of all in to building this life-giving church. And my prayer was simple. I want to come add value to the serve team that got here early and were greeting. They greeted me and they were so happy to see me. I want to add value. I didn't come in here to be served. I came to serve, right? And so I realized that my heart's not right when I come into a time of worship. And the first thing I ask is, what's the worship set list? As if this is an all request show. As if, you know, you could program this on your Spotify or your Pandora. Like, I want to know if they're playing my jam today. How many of you got a worship jam, right? I got me a worship jam. Well, maybe they didn't play it today. But that's because worship isn't for you. It wasn't. I mean, if you want worship to be for you, sing in a shower. I'm sorry. That's bad pastor. That's kind of harsh. But worship's for God. When worship is just you giving worth to him, but it's reminding you of what he wants to do in your life. He wants to do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. Whether you have a mountain in front of you right here, right now, or you have one in front of you later, you're going to have a mountain. And it's this song that's going to well up in your soul. And you're going to begin to sing it. Why? Because you're facing an immovable thing. You're facing a hard time. You are facing a time where you really need a connection with God. And worship is the pathway to get you there. You can win in worship. But you got to choose to do it. God doesn't want lip service. He wants heart service. And you've been blessed with phenomenal worship. You've been blessed with talented and gifted musicians, and you've been blessed with an opportunity, what, to make this music in your heart. But see, I realize on the flip side, maybe you didn't grow up in church. I get it. I didn't really grow up in church, and the only experience I had when I was younger was in a Catholic church. And we didn't have worship like this, y'all. But we would sing back every now and then, right to the priest, and also with you. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Where you at? You know, you catechism people at. Where you at? Don't lie to me. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Hold it out. Right? Woo. came into my first church, man, people were getting down, man. We had like a whole horn section. I thought Tower Power showed up. I was like, hey, but they were going. I was waiting for the beat to drop. I was so scared. I went to a full-blown charismatic church, y'all. I was scared. If it wasn't for the pretty girls that was there, I'd have never come back. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. That is just the truth. And so I had this conversion, and I'm going to show you how it started out with worship. It started out, I'd go in there, and how many know you're a back row person? Come on, you know you're a back row. I sit in the back, and all of a sudden they start singing. You know, it started out with like, all right, that's cool. You know, I remember one time telling my youth pastor, y'all got to play any Dre? What's wrong? I mean, I don't get it. Like, never mind. Y'all holy, okay? So, that was funny. So, it's true though. And so I get it. You sit in the back, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, so you start coming around a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. Like, okay, I'm feeling it now. And so all of a sudden, you know, you start to clap a little bit. You're not doing the sway thing yet. You're not doing the sway thing yet because, you know, you ain't there. You know, because you get the sway when you start clapping, dipping to the knees. Now all of a sudden the slow song come on, and this is where they say, go ahead and raise your hand. You're like, boop, right there. That's what's up. I'm giving a low five right there. That's what's up, you know. And at any given time, I could bring it back down and bring it away. And so we start to see this progression in worship. But what I realized is after a year in the church and what God was doing in my heart and in my life, I realized that my hands went from here to here. Now here. And so when people see me in worship now in my church, they realize that I'm all in on this, that this is my opportunity and this is my moment to connect with my Savior. And this is what it should be. No one should ever have to invite you to sing. You should realize whether you sing or not, somebody will outpraise you. And whoever's outpraising you, they're the ones getting the victory. So I don't let, and I don't sing good. I don't care if I sing on tune, off tune. I don't care if I'm making my own words. This is my song to Jesus. If it bothers you, you sing louder. Shoot, I can't tell you how many times I made up words. One time I threw in Krispy Kreme. I forgot the lyrics. I was like, man. That's so true, though. But my point is my church realized that. And real quickly, shout out to the 559. I got my pastors holding it down back at home. And so I realized this is who I am. This is what I do. So I'm not afraid to kneel down. I'm not afraid to raise my hands. I'm not afraid to sing at the top of my lungs. I'm not embarrassed of what God is doing in my life. You'll catch me singing in a car. You'll catch me singing in a restaurant. You'll catch me singing in the grocery store. And it doesn't matter whether or not I sing good, because I ain't singing for you. I ain't winning no awards. Man, people are asking me for money because I sound so bad. Like, I need to pay them so I can sing. My worship is for Him. There's something that God wants to do here and now in this place. And last time we were here, we prayed for a couple. We prayed for a couple last time we were here. They couldn't conceive. Gave them a prophetic word right here in the corner. And they're due any day now. There's a miracle power that God flows through as we begin to worship. We begin to lift His name on high. Only one person can sit on that throne at a time. Either it's your doubts, your fears, your anxieties, or it's Jesus Christ. It's either your anger, your lust, your perversion, or it's Jesus Christ. It's either your fears, or it's even your inadequacies, right? Or it's your pride. Or it can be Jesus Christ. Only you get to choose that. Here's a really cool thing on why I serve God. He doesn't force anybody. Maybe today, what you need to choose today to be your first day, to be your day one, right? You know what today might be your day one for you to choose Christ. For you to choose Christ. I said, well, I didn't plan on it. I was 17 years old growing up in Stockton, California. I didn't plan on it either. I had big time dreams. Trust me, church wasn't one of them. But I found myself on an Easter Sunday, Westland and Bianchi, at a Four Square church, listening to a man who was wearing a three-piece all-white suit. Come on. I don't understand a word he said. But when the Holy Spirit began to move, I felt the tugging on my heart. Palms got sweaty. Heart started beating faster. I felt the Spirit of God begin to move. And I realized it was then. Something dynamically was shifting in the atmosphere. He began to draw me. He began to woo me. This is what I love about God. You will never OD on Him. You will never be addicted to prayer. You'll never be addicted to fasting. You'll never be addicted to reading His Word. It always has been and always will be 100% your choice. Wow. What freedom. What freedom. See, Jesus doesn't make you jump through hoops. He makes ways for you to come to Him. You might be here and you might be saying, I don't know, I'm still investigating. Well, why don't you make this your first step of investigation? Like, I'm going to seek the things of God. You sought the things of other things. I mean, you've inquired of other things. But maybe today it's, I choose Christ. I hear what this preacher's got to say. It looks like it's working for him. What do I got to lose? All it takes is one step on your first day. One step. And I would like to lead you in that step. So if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and bowing your heads and closing your eyes. Just giving you some space of privacy, some space between you and the Lord. But you might be in here at the sound of my voice and, man, maybe you didn't get a choice to come here today. Maybe somebody said, you're going with me, whether you like it or not. But you're here now and it didn't catch God by surprise. I truly believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you like He did to me. With eyes closed and heads bowed, I just want you to lean in to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you today. I want you to lean in to how He's drawing you and wooing you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you and you can sense the Holy Spirit drawing you, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I won't embarrass you, but I'm going to give you an opportunity. So whether you're here for the first time, whether you'd like to pray to receive Christ for the first time, or you would like to recommit your life. You might be saying, Pastor, I've done straight. I grew up in a church and I've been dipped out ever since. I've strayed. I don't know really what's going on. I just kind of found myself here. But I hear what you're saying and I want to respond. So whether it's for the first time or you would like to recommit your life to Christ, with no one looking around, if that's you, just simply raise your hand right where you're at and I'm going to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you for that bold step. Thank you. I appreciate that. I have a word for somebody. If you're waiting for yourself to get cleaned up before you pray to receive Christ, that'll never happen. But if you pray to receive Christ, He'll help you get cleaned up. So today's your day. So one more time before we close in prayer, if that's you, you'd like to commit or recommit your life, and you didn't raise your hand before, but you want to raise it now, you just raise it, and I'm going to pray with you. I won't embarrass you. Thank you. I see those hands. That's awesome. Church, if you wouldn't mind, can we pray this prayer together? But we're going to pray it out loud, all of us at once. Can we say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for the cross. I receive now the free gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.